And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
How's it going, everybody? The season starts this week. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick back with you. We're talking waiver wire week one. And Nick, we got a great guest, our good old friend, coming on the program today.
We do. First and foremost, happy Thanksgiving to all our loyal listeners and viewers north of the border. And yes, you're so right. Yep. It only means one thing. Today's guest, the season is on, my friends. None other than waiver wire James himself, James Harding. How was your offseason? How pumped are you for puck drop on Tuesday, James?
Words cannot describe how pumped I am to finally be back. It's been a long off season. Obviously, we've kept in touch. I've been on the podcast, you know, a couple of times with some of the preview stuff. But you guys know that I've been prepping all season for this moment. So I'm so excited to be back with you guys, and I can't wait for the actual season. I know we had a couple of games over the weekend. We'll chit chat about that, but the actual season starts on Tuesday. That's when the real action begins.
Right, we have Rangers, Lightning in a playoff rematch on Tuesday, and then Kings, Golden Knights in one of the many Pacific Division battles to come for the upcoming season. So, James, we know that this rookie class for the upcoming season is star-studded. Some of the big names out there we've come to know very well in the offseason, some before they've even played a game. But so far in the preseason, we've seen a couple of guys really burst onto the scene. Dylan Holloway from the Edmonton Oilers, and Marco Rossi from the Minnesota Wild getting some top line looks. Which guy do you like more for the upcoming season?
I mean, these are two guys that we've been speaking about for the better part of a year now, whether or not they were actually going to get a shot. Obviously, Rossi, a couple of years ago, having COVID, taking him a while to recover from that, never really got his footing last year. I'm actually really excited about Holloway because he's going to be skating on that second line for the Oilers with Draisaitl and Hyman to start the season at even strength. And so, I mean, find me, you know, a better player to be slotted in next to than Leon Draisaitl. And there may be only one or two other guys in the world right now that you could say might be a better guy to be a winger for. And one of those guys is the first line center for that team, Connor McDavid. So, you know, I have to think that anybody who's got any exposure to the top six for the Oilers definitely gets a little bit of a jump up in my book. I've watched both of them so far this preseason. I've been very intrigued and very impressed. I like Rossi, but I think that he has less staying power right now just because of the other players that they have on that team who have developed chemistry in the past, you know, specifically a guy like Ryan Hartman with Kaprizov and Zuccarello. So right now I would lean Holloway, but you have to watch both of these guys over the next few weeks, kind of see how the rosters start to shake out.
My answer would be Marco Rossi, because I think there's a higher ceiling, right? I think he's sort of a forgotten player in the fantasy world because of everything he's dealt with the last couple of years. And I agree with you. Like, initially, the attachment to Kaprizov 5-on-5 is not going to be there, but I still feel like he can elevate into that role. So it would be him. And I'm not discrediting your take, obviously, on Holloway. I think there's a lot of opportunity with the Edmonton Oilers. Speaking of opportunity, and let's go around the horn, we can start with you, Pete. Andre Kuzmenko, I haven't been excited about a fantasy player in quite some time when it comes to guys who haven't even played in this league. They've only played in the preseason. He's ineligible to be a rookie in terms of that status because he's 26. How do we try to temper our expectations, guys, when it comes to Kuzmenko, considering what he did here in the preseason, Pete?
Right. I mean, he is going to bring a different element to this Canucks offense. I think we've seen it already in the preseason where he was a point per game player. I mean, it's really impressive what he's done so early. Bruce Boudreau, I was listening to an interview with him, and he seemed to just be really convinced this guy has top six capability. Yeah. And that means exposure, James, to either JT Miller, Bo Horvat, or maybe more likely Elias Pettersson if they're going to roll three strong lines. That's the way, to me, that the Vancouver Canucks get into the playoffs this year. If they separate those three centers, and then they have so many wings to choose from between Podkolzin, Kuzmenko, Connor Garland, right, Brock Besser when he comes back healthy. So many options, really a wealth of riches for Vancouver's offense.
I'm super excited about Kuzmenko right now. And I think that he is skating on a line at the moment with Elias Pettersson. So I'm very, very excited to see what he could do there. Obviously, I would also like to maybe see if they could slot a guy like Vasily Podkolzin up into, you know, the top six somewhere with all of the injuries, because he's a guy who we were very high on going into last season. And he really didn't get as much of an opportunity, I think, as we expected him to get. So maybe this year he takes a little bit of a step up. But I mean, I'm super excited about Kuzmenko. You're talking about a guy, 200 career points in 315 games in the KHL, added about another half point per game in the KHL playoffs over his career. I'm not saying he's going to be the level of Artemi Panarin, but I get a lot of Artemi Panarin vibes off of him, a guy who I think is an older, more mature player coming into the NHL a little bit later on after a long seasoning in the KHL. And I think that really can serve him well coming over and just slotting into a top six and playing against, you know, the top players in the world. I really am excited. And I think that this guy has 50 to 60 point potential this season if he stays in the top six for the Canucks.
Definitely. I think there are a lot of concerns on the blue line for Vancouver, as there have been each of the past 2 years when they've let a lot of us down. But the offense may just be too much for a lot of opponents to handle. And then Thatcher Demko could mask some of those wounds on the blue line. So a couple of notes around the league, some really good news bits since we last talked. Jason Robertson finally signed for the Dallas Stars. That's huge news for their future's appeal and chances of getting to the playoffs. They wouldn't have been able to do it without him, James. But one guy that caught my eye in the preseason, Mason Marchment for the Dallas Stars, he's going to get a second line role even when Robertson is in the lineup, which he will be for opening night. So what are your thoughts on Marchment's appeal after the Robertson signing and just with him being elevated after his career year last year?
I mean, definitely saw that breakout coming. I think he was just trending in that direction with the opportunity that he was given with the Florida Panthers. But you're going from playing in, you know, the Florida Panthers to playing on the Dallas Stars on a line with Tyler Seguin, who we have all kind of bemoaned, especially this offseason right now. You know, the highest cap hit in the NHL this season belongs to Tyler Seguin. And he is definitely not that player anymore and hasn't been that player in a very long time, probably about, you know, 3 or 4 years now from a fantasy perspective, which is an eternity when it comes to this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm high on Marchment. I really hope that he sees an elevated role in Dallas, maybe even could potentially, you know, crack that top line once or twice if you know, a Pavelski slows down or, you know, something happens there. He's obviously going to see more power play time, I think, in Dallas than he previously had when he was with Florida. But I'm not as high on him as I would be on some other players that moved teams this offseason, but he's going to get an opportunity. I just don't know if he's going to be the player that Dallas signed that they were getting from Florida last season.
NHL.com/fantasy, where you can catch all the waiver players and guys to pick up this week. I would like to be fewer people in this world right now than our Terry Lehkonen guys. Dual eligibility. Playing on the top line with the Colorado Avalanche. Of course, Gabriel Landeskog is injured right now. Suffice it is to say, James, people are running to pick up Lehkonen right now, would you?
Absolutely, 100%. If you're not picking Lehkonen up with his exposure to MacKinnon and Rantanen, I don't know what to tell you. This is a guy, we saw what he did towards the tail end of last season. We saw what he did on their run to the playoff, to the Stanley Cup in the playoffs. I mean, he's absolutely picked up his game after he was acquired from the Canadiens. He found that next gear and they're trusting him and they're going to put him there. And I think that he is actually going to stay there after Landeskog comes back from his injury. The interesting tidbit that came out over the weekend is Jared Bednar basically anointed Alex Newhook as the second line center for the team. And he said he's going to give him quite a long leash, maybe even months up until the trade deadline before they decide whether or not they're going to, you know, keep him there permanently. So that's going to be an interesting wrinkle. Once Landeskog comes back, you have a guy like Newhook with Landeskog and Valeri Nichushkin. And now all of a sudden that top six, while it may not be Nazem Kadri, is still pretty much as strong as it was last year.
And the intrigue to me too, guys, is the PP1 factor, right? The fact that it's not just the first line. He's playing on the first power play unit, Pete, and that means exposure to Makar, to MacKinnon, or Rantanen. That's a really, really good spot, Pete. But do you think there is staying power with Lehkonen for the majority of the season, we'll say?
Yeah, I do, because I think he's going to play on that second line, even when, like James was alluding to. So, you know, maybe he won't be on first power play all year, but he'll have a chance to be. And as for Newhook, I mean, he's a great breakout candidate. I've liked this guy for a couple of years. I thought they should have given him better usage, but they just weren't able to because they had, you know, bigger fish in the sea. But to me, Newhook is like a guy that has produced really well in per 60 metrics for a very small sample size. But even last year, he had like 33 points in 70 games with a plus 11 playing exclusively in the bottom six. He didn't really get any time in the top six last year. So in terms of my excitement level for some of the young players around the league, the opportunity with Kadri now gone, to me, it's a matter of time before Alex Newhook becomes a household name in fantasy.
Breakout city for sure. You know, a name that did intrigue me on your list too, I had him on my risers and fallers available right now on dailyfaceoff.com. Nice little plug there. Alexander Holtz and his potential and his staying power, guys, on the top line. Like, we should have brought in David Satriano for this take, but to have that exposure on the top line, James, like, I think I have to take a peek at Alex Holtz, and he looked pretty good in the preseason too, no?
He's looked very comfortable in the preseason so far. He's skating on that top line for the Devils with Jack Hughes and Andre Palat. Only 3% rostered in Yahoo at the moment, so obviously, you know, he's a deep sleeper, a guy that you're going to take, you know, late in the draft or you know, scouring and you know, wanting to find the guy with top level exposure. And this is something that we've talked about numerous times in the past, is these guys on, you know, I'm not calling the Devils a bad team, but, you know, these players on the teams that people aren't expecting much from, these young guys who just get the opportunity to, you know, jump into a top six role, especially with an elite player like Jack Hughes, that we're all expecting to finally have that true breakout superstar season, somewhere between 80 and 100 points for him this season. And if you get a seasoned guy like Andre Palat on one side and a young guy who could potentially turn into, you know, that long-term wing option that we've all been saying that Hughes needs, all of a sudden you have the makings of a really solid line. And I'm very intrigued to see what kind of staying power. I know Anna's going to be a little disappointed it's not Dawson Mercer, but I'm very, very intrigued to see what's going to happen with Alexander Holtz on that top line for the Devils.
Right. And when you have a guy like that for a team that gets forgotten and then they all of a sudden end up bursting out and making the playoffs, like, you'll see that type of appeal for a lot of different players, maybe even for some award looks. Like, you could see a Jack Hughes at his ceiling be a Hart Trophy candidate. You could see Alexander Holtz as his ceiling being a top three Calder Trophy finisher if all goes right for him on that line. So it's really interesting when you look at it from that perspective. So you guys mentioned that there have been a couple of games in the NHL so far over in Czech Republic. It was a great showcase for the league. I really enjoyed watching it. The Sharks had a rough time with the Predators, and one guy that really burned them, James, was Nino Niederreiter, player you're very familiar with. I like that move a lot. He's a guy that covers hits. He scored 3 goals in 2 games playing on the second line with Ryan Johansson. And what are your thoughts on Niederreiter's ceiling this year? Like, you think he could become, if all goes right for Nashville, a top 100 finisher overall for fantasy?
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me Nino Niederreiter. I mean, he's one of those players that we kind of always expected a little bit more from. You know, when you look at the draft pedigree, what he did, you know, when he was coming out, obviously with the Islanders, those first few years, they just completely mishandled him. You know, he's a five-time 20-goal scorer. 24 goals last season in 75 games for the Hurricanes. 44 points, 144 shots on goal. You know, his best season was about 6-7 years ago in Minnesota, 25 goals, 186 shots on goal. But he's largely been in, you know, like a third line role on those teams. And now he's going to be on a second line role, Ryan Johansson as his center. You know, I think that he really could hit that 25 goal mark again, you know, in an expanded role with, you know, a team like the Predators, who we know can score. And I think last year they produced more offense than any of us were expecting. And I think that they can take that next step forward. The interesting wrinkle is going to be the other guy on that line, Sherwood. He had 2 points in the two games. He looked really comfortable as well. So it's going to be an interesting thing, but I loved the signing. I said it at the beginning of the pre-agency period when it happened, that was going to be one of the more underrated signings of the summer. He was going to slot into that role. And yeah, I think he can have potential to hit 30 goals in this offense with the expanded role that he's really never had before, in Minnesota or Carolina, just because he was blocked by either the elite talent that Carolina had ahead of him, or just the fact that Minnesota's offense was so stymied for all those years that he was there.
Let me tell you, first couple games, tough games for the over boys. I am feeling it. Number two, how sexy are those home units for the San Jose Sharks? Rather appetizing. They're not a good team on the ice, but rather appetizing to look at from that perspective. So I was
all teal all day.
Yeah, I was digging those two games in Prague. It was a lot of fun. And don't forget, Niederreiter is on pace for 123 goals this season. But yeah, I don't know. I think in deeper leagues, I'm having a look. For now, I'm chilling out. I want to talk about defense, guys. And James, we can start with you. It's always so hard to find somebody who's going to produce in really, really good positions. And lo and behold, as we forecast as Pete throughout the offseason, Kalen Addison, it looks like he's going to run the first power play unit for the Minnesota Wild. I can't believe he's only 11% owned. I think it should be in the 20s or 30s right now, because the opportunity and the attachment to Kirill Kaprizov, James, I'm all over that right now.
Oh, you have to be. I mean, especially when you look at that unit, it's not just Kaprizov. It's Zuccarello, who had a career season last year. It's Matt Boldy, who we're all expecting to continue to just be an absolute stud and break out again this season. And I just think the reason that you don't hear so much about Addison and the fact that he's so low in his ownership is just because I don't think a lot of people realize that he's A, going to be on the team, B, that, you know, he's a rookie that a lot of people haven't really heard of. And I think that they're going to hear about him very, very quickly. And I feel like he's going to be a guy, you know, that we talk about for the next month or two until people finally start realizing that we've been mentioning him all off season as a potential breakout star for this team and a guy who could slot in as, you know, a rookie, play big minutes and run their power play, which is exactly what it looks like they're going to give him the opportunity to do. And I think that with that attachment to Kaprizov and that first power play, and with an expanded role at even strength, he easily could be a guy that we're talking about, you know, 5-6 months from now, who's going to be in the Calder Trophy race if he can get somewhere around like 45 to 50 points as a rookie defenseman, you know, akin the production that we saw from a guy like Noah Dobson last year for the Islanders when he had his breakout.
And Kalen Addison, of course, came over from the Penguins in that Jason Zucker trade. I mean, my goodness, how bad does that trade look in hindsight, especially if Addison continues to move forward. He only scratched the surface last year, didn't play a full season, played only like 15 games. So I'm really excited to see what he could do with a much larger sample size and a lot more than 13 plus minutes per game that he was playing for the Wild last season. And then
yeah, the
also
Penguins definitely don't need any young defensemen right now, right?
No.
Exactly. You proved my point. So also on defense, I really liked what Keandre Miller did in the preseason, scored 2 goals for the Rangers. I know that he's behind Adam Fox, and he will be for the whole season, barring an injury. But second pair with Jacob Trouba covers categories, had a great plus minus last year. If the Rangers, James, replicate what they did or even come close to it, Keandre Miller, I think over the next year or two, is going to become one of those category studs in fantasy and is going to be really worth rostering in most fantasy formats.
I would agree with that. I mean, he's fairly well owned at this point, 38% rostered for a guy who only had 20 points last season and 102 shots on goal. But like you said, he does get that category coverage. A plus 23, 24 PIMs, 151 hits, 95 block shots. You would expect a lot of those numbers, especially the hits and the blocks, are going to go up. Obviously, through the first two seasons of his career, he's averaging almost 21 minutes per game. So the Rangers definitely trust, and they've put a lot of trust in a lot of these young guys. Fox, when he first came in, Miller, you know, Trouba obviously being the stud that he is, you know, the veteran of the group, but everybody else on that roster for defense is under the age of 25. And there are young guys who are learning as they go, and they're just getting better. And I think that's the scary thing about this team is that, you know, they have so much room to grow. The one concern I would probably more have with the Rangers right now is not Miller breaking out. It's whether or not their middle six can produce the way that it did last season, because we know that top line is going to produce, but it's going to be guys like Miller who have attachment to that second line with a guy like Trouba. I mean, with Miller and Trouba, with a guy like Trocheck coming in, who doesn't have any, you know, real chemistry right now with Artemi Panarin. There's a lot of flux with the kids line there. So, you know, it's just going to be about deployment. We know that Fox is going to get the big minutes. He's going to get the big scoring opportunities. But I think that there is going to be a place for a guy like Miller, especially in those hits and blocks leagues.
It's important to preface, it's just preseason, but Capo Caco caught my ire, guys. And that's a guy I'll be monitoring the first couple of weeks because he looked really, really good. And maybe he starts in the third line, but there is certainly potential with that player. Let's talk goaltending now and the volatile position that it is. Injuries, Pete, have played a factor already here in the preseason. One that stands out for me, and we don't really know his status just yet. John Gibson, I think the final Ducks preseason game got dinged up. That could mean good things for like an Anthony Stolarz, right?
Right. And there's also that kid you like, right? Lucas Dostal.
Yes, nailed
whatever
it.
You say Dostal, his name. Yeah. Yeah, that's a guy I know you've been talking about before as kind of waiting in the wings. And it's unfortunate, man. Like if Gibson misses any time or anything like that, I feel like that guy's career was just so promising 4 or 5 years ago. And now it's just kind of been disappointment after disappointment, non-contending team around him. They do have some young flair, but even Trevor Zegras got banged up a little bit this preseason. So you already see for their season opener, I think they're playing the Kraken. They're like massive underdogs, the Anaheim Ducks. So
fade the Kraken. Don't forget.
It's pretty that don't fade the Kraken in that matchup. So, but yeah, I think also Anton Forsberg, James, is a must-own goaltender with Cam Talbot out 5 to 7 weeks. What's your level of confidence in Ottawa this season? And do you think like their back end, the young back end, injury-prone Thomas Chabot, unproven Jake Sanderson, the goaltending issue now that Talbot is out in his contract year for a good chunk of time, like does that make you worry about saying, oh, Ottawa's going to make the playoffs this year?
I am picking Ottawa to make the playoffs this year. So I'm going to stick with that, despite the fact that, you know, Talbot is hurt and banged up right now. So I love the moves that they've made. I think that the offense is going to be there for them. I think that there's enough on the back end. Chabot has, you know, managed to stay relatively healthy. So I would definitely say that my confidence level is a lot higher than a lot of other people probably would be. He did play, you know, 60 games last season. So, you know, Chabot, so he's got to, you know, get a little bit more. I think if he can get somewhere in that, like 65 to 70 games, you know, a guy like him is always going to be dinged up with just the style that he plays. But I love Forsberg. I love what he did last season. He really had that breakout, 282 goals against, but a 917 save percentage on that team. 22-17-4. So, you know, I can definitely see him being able to shoulder the load for the foreseeable future, obviously, you know, until early mid-December when we can expect Talbot back. And then he's going to have that guy who is going to be the steadying presence. And I think from that point on, you're going to see kind of a split. And they're going to definitely want to get Talbot as much work as they can when he comes back. But I'm very high on Ottawa, and I think that absolutely, one, Forsberg is a must own, and two, I think this team is still good enough that they can make the playoffs this season, despite not having Talbot for about the next 2 months.
All I can say about the Senators, take the overs. James, we can't let you go without talking about your preseason pick, your Stanley Cup favorite this year.
Yeah, and this is something that I definitely put a lot of thought into. And I love some of the moves that both of these teams made, but I also don't love a couple of the moves that one of them made by letting some players go. But my Stanley Cup final this year, I have Florida over Edmonton. Obviously, Florida lost a number of pieces in the offseason, whether it was by free agency or trades. I love the Tkachuk move. I did not like the fact that they included Mackenzie Weegar in that deal, because I think that that weakened them significantly on the back end. Gustav Forsling, you want to talk about, you know, low ownership defenseman to go out there and target. He's stepping into Uyghur's role. He's going to be on that top pair with Ekblad. He's going to be running that second power play unit. So, you know, definitely Gus Forsling is somebody that you want to go take a look at. But yeah, I have Edmonton losing in the Stanley Cup final, but I think that they're going to take that next step. I have Jack Campbell winning the Vezina this year, because I think that he is finally the goaltender that's going to, you know, solidify that position for them. You know, and I have Edmonton beating Calgary in my my Western Conference final, because I think that I think it's going to be the Battle of Alberta. I think that a lot of the top teams out West took a step back this season. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see, you know, what happens coming down the stretch. I have Florida beating Carolina in the Eastern Conference final. So, you know, I think Carolina is another team that's just knocking at the door right now. And it wouldn't shock me. I know a bunch of people have picked them to win. Certainly wouldn't shock me this season, but I just, there's something about Florida. These guys, I think they have unfinished business. And I think that this season they're finally going to break through and get it done. And I think that Spencer Knight will, because I heard you guys talking last week. I agree. I think Spencer Knight will at some point jump Sergei Bobrovsky as the starter and lead them to the Stanley Cup.
And you never know. The Florida Panthers could always swing a deal. They've been so active with all these moves, right, with the Tkachuk trade and the Sam Reinhart trade and a lot of wheeling and dealing under Bill Zito. So you really never know. They could improve their roster before the trade deadline and get themselves even more equipped to make James' prediction come true. So, James, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Waiver Wire James, NHL.com/fantasy. Follow him on Twitter and hit him up with your questions. He's great for us. Thanks, James.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much. Looking forward to the season. It's great to be back.
There you have it. Waiver Wire James. Before we wrap, Pete, Rossi versus Holloway. I know you want to put some conversation into that too, because again, the waiver wire, we look at it, there's a lot of these younger type files with potential, right?
Absolutely. And we didn't even talk about some of those guys that are scratching the surface in Buffalo, like Jack Quinn. Mm-hmm. His roster percentage is really low. He's on our list for week one of the season for waiver wire pickups. But yeah, Marco Rossi, just wanted to highlight the fact that he led the entire NHL this preseason in assists and points. So, and that's only playing part of the time with Kaprizov near the end of the preseason. So I'm really excited about him. I was excited about him last year. Of course, Ryan Hartman was the cog that really broke out. And, you know, we saw Frederick Gaudreau as the number two center. Joel Eriksson-Ek was third line center, first power play. So all of a sudden he got squeezed out, but good to see him healthy. He's a guy, when you look back at 2019-20 in the OHL, Marco Rossi led that league in scoring. Cole Perfetti was second. And that's something that a few years removed from that stat, I feel like could really translate this year. Wouldn't be surprised to see those two names near the top of the Calder conversation when it's all said and done.
On this podcast, we like to get in the minds of the casual fantasy owner. How stubborn are you when it comes to waiver activity early on? I don't know about you. I draft players and I'm like forever indebted to these guys and I hold on and I hold on. Is there anybody, Pete, on this list that we've unveiled today that you would jump at right away, maybe jump ship with somebody who's 30, 40% owned right now?
I really like the Addison ad. I think that that's a guy that you really have to try to make room for. I've seen so many teams, people ask me, oh, how is this team looking after my 10 team draft or 12 team draft? And usually I'm like, is there a better defenseman out there? Oh yeah, is Kalen Addison out there? And usually the answer is yes. And I've told about 15 people that this preseason. So that would be my guy. Again, Minnesota, I have my doubts about them this year. From, you know, a finish standpoint, like, are they going to be as good as last year? I don't think so. Maybe they'll still squeak into the playoffs, but I think if they get into the playoffs, they're top heavy with Kaprizov and Fleury. They are really going to need Rossi and Kalen Addison to take that big next step. Otherwise, I think they are in danger of maybe falling out of the playoffs.
Not to mention Matt Boldy as well. As we look ahead, Pete, to the starting games, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday might look at a bit of a sprinkle on the underdog Tampa Bay Lightning at the Garden. Have a look at that. Vegas and Los Angeles, maybe look at the over. There's a lot of potential this week, Pete.
I really like the LA Kings in general this season. I don't think that they're that far of a step below teams like Calgary and Edmonton. We mentioned it with the Fiala bold prediction. Remember, before the start of the season, go back and listen to some of our season preview episodes. Your fantasy draft may be over, but still check out the bold predictions. Still check out the betting preview with Michael Leboff. And wanted to also mention that we're going to be doing the weekly betting episode with Michael Leboff to handicap things in all the different markets before the start of the season for opening week, and also look at, once again, some awards and cup future storylines, especially after the Calgary Flames not only brought back Mackenzie Weegar after the trade, but also brought back Daryl Sutter, right, for a multi-year extension. So things are looking really good in Calgary right now, Nick. It's pretty amazing what a couple of months have done to that franchise, but looking forward to getting to that with Michael.
I like the Flames quite a bit. I'm looking forward to the episode for now. I think we got to wrap. I got to go cry on my pillow again. It was a long weekend to be a Blue Jays fan, Pete. I'll just say that, man. That's it for me.
Yeah, and the Maple Leafs got into the conversation before the series, supporting their guys. And I saw there was some chatter about how they might have cursed them a little bit. But yeah, that's unfortunate with the recent struggles of Toronto in the first round of the playoffs. So my apologies with that.
Not the Raptors.
The Mets got knocked out too. So yeah. I feel your pain, man. So we'll talk again later in the week. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Remember, check out the betting episode, which will drop later on Monday afternoon. So for Nick Albergo, Waiver Wire James, Pete Jensen, talk to you next time. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and we'll talk to you on the other side.